Oh, as our final trip down memory lane, our fine seven listeners, we bring to you episode one. Now, the reason we're doing this, as we said in the past few episodes, is we're enjoying the summer. We're not locking Wayne down in our front room to record a day over the shows. We're just enjoying the time with the kids, and we hope you are enjoying it with your favorite people. It's episode one time. September 25th, 2013. We decided to embark on the Unpodcast journey. A journey, by the time you're listening to this, is almost 5 years long now. We had no idea we'd go five episodes, let alone 5 years. Personally, I can't tell you how incredible it is to do this show with Allison week in and week out. In this time, what has happened since this show is, well, we're married. So, yay for me. And yay how this works. And incredibly how what the show has brought us, from the sponsors and the revenue stream that have brought us to the awareness. But all that, to be honest with you guys, I couldn't really care. You know what's brought me? The ability to be with Allison on a show and have the favorite thing we do for our business to be this show. And it still is now. Almost 250 episodes. And we still love doing this. It is still putting a microphone in front of us as we talk like we normally do. I can't imagine doing another show. I can't imagine doing it in a structure that's way classically, because when we started this episode one, we were told to do a very simple thing. One host, always have a guest, always stick to a certain time. And since then, we have two hosts, rarely a guest, and no predetermined time. I love this show. I love that you've listened. I love that you're listening now. It's so cool. So let's go way back and listen, especially to me, not because I want you to, but listen to how my voice sounds that episode. You can tell I'm wearing headphones and loving the sound of my own voice in those headphones, just by the way I'm talking. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope everybody can look back on these 5 years and say, wow, you know, the show has come far, because I think the style is a bit different. The pace is a bit different now, and how even more relaxed we are at this point. And that's all because of you guys too, because you've listened and have enjoyed it. And every person that comes out to us and tells us that, it means a lot to us. So please enjoy episode one, which is entitled How to Handle False Accusations About Your Brand and More. Oh yeah, this is back when we had themes for each episode. Rookies, take care.
In a world where QR codes kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron, one podcast has set out to make things right. This is the Unpodcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
You know, I've always wanted to do a podcast simply to use the movie guy trailer voice for it. And now that day has come. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the only 9 years late Unpodcast where we talk and you listen or disagree. And I don't know what took us so long to create one, but I'm glad we finally get to do episode one. I am Scott Stratton with my wonderful and always beside me co-host Allison Kramer. Say hello, Allison.
Hello.
How are you doing? And hello to everybody on video at home. And if you're listening to this right now and you want to have a visual experience, and I'm not sure why you'd want to see me, but obviously you'd like to see Allison, you can go to theunpodcast.com and there'll be the video link for this as well. And if you're listening, focus on the road, not on my voice, but even though you cannot resist my voice. So the Unpodcast as well, it's whatever the heck we want to talk about and what's getting on our nerves, because heck, that's my whole brand and that's what we always talk about. For those of you that don't know Allison and wondering why I have a co-host, because I've been asked that a few times actually, because unmarketing is me, my personality and my face, whatever version of that I have today. And little known is about Allison is she pretty much does everything. She writes the books and she's my muse for ideas, and we bounce them off. And literally the podcast is pretty much the same as us two sitting at Starbucks talking about points. And, I have Twitter to thank for meeting Allison, and it's just become where there's nothing more valuable, and correct me if I'm wrong, Allison, and please feel free to do that when the rare occurrence happens and all these podcasts, is that as an entrepreneur, and I've said this many times on stage before, is that the most valuable thing to have as an entrepreneur is an outside voice of somebody who gives a damn about you and what you do, but would also give you an honest opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just really isolating, I think, to be working on your own and not to have anyone, but also not to take everyone's opinion as well, especially online. If you can put your work out there and ask for the opinions of the world, they will come. And sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad, but it's important to have opinions of people that you trust and have earned that trust as well.
Well, that's the great dilemma though, right? You put your stuff out there, and that one of the great thing about anything from Facebook to Instagram to Pinterest to Twitter is that we can instantaneously get feedback on stuff.
Yeah.
The problem is...
you instantaneously get feedback on stuff?
You get the same thing. And a great book title of a book that's no longer in print, but Richard Moran wrote these little small tip books. It was actually one of the inspirations for the new book, QR Code Skill Kittens, on shelves in October. And the whole title of the book was Beware of Those Who Ask for Feedback. They're usually looking for praise.
Yeah.
And nothing truer has been said, right?
Yeah.
So when somebody puts something out there on Twitter and says, what do you guys think? They don't want you to give them a breakdown of what's wrong.
No, they want you to say that they like it.
And there's nothing wrong with pats on the back. So like you said, it's so isolating being an entrepreneur. The problem is when they're artificial.
Yeah.
Right. And when we're doing something that isn't smart.
Yeah.
But also in the point of finding out where you get your feedback from is consider the source. Right.
Yeah,
and I do that a lot too, considering who it comes from. So if you tell me something that I probably shouldn't do or change it a bit, not only do you wonderfully tell me in a way that I just feel it's always a compliment, which you could call me a complete moron, which you have not done, thankfully. I owe you money for that. But you say it in a way that makes me feel good, because there's ways to word things too. There's tact.
Absolutely.
But here's the difference. If somebody tweets to me directly and says, what do you think about this? And they're wanting free advice, then I give them what I think.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always go well. But I still, there's a couple brands that won't talk to me because they asked me what I thought about their viral video, which is your first mistake, right there, is calling your video viral, right off the bat. But I'm telling you, having what's an entrepreneurial ally? You know what I mean? To have somebody there that you trust and has an opinion you value.
Yeah.
Is a real big thing.
And also with online stuff, and it's in, I think, the first book, the Banking on the Bold stuff, is that what you get are the loudest voices. Like, you have to get the people, you're getting people who are going to be commenters, which most people aren't anyway. They like to read mostly. And so they're commenting, and you're going to get extreme opinions. And extreme opinions aren't always the best
or the right
way to
the
go
right opinions,
or right absolutely. Plus, you need to know where the opinion's coming from. You can't even my opinion, you need to know where I'm coming from, why I'm saying something, because everyone has their own stamp.
What's
on that?
The motive,
motive,
sure,
and the history. The person's like, are they telling you that they think QR codes are good because they sell QR codes? Because they're going to tell you that they're good.
Just a random
just
example,
saying,
right?
I don't have any specific proof of people doing that, but I'm just saying that it's important to know where the opinions are coming from and to listen to them, but not take them with a grain of salt. I think.
And the explanation behind that too is like literally since I've been ranting on QR codes for a long time. Most of the time, the biggest objection is from people who work for agencies that recommend QR codes to their clients.
Yeah.
Right. And
really,
they literally have a vested interest in it, for sure.
Yeah.
Charging their clients $3,000 for something that can be generated for free in 3 seconds.
And, yeah.
But that's for a whole nother episode, because I'm sure we have multiple, part 1 to 17 of QR codes. But, today, what I want to talk about, how we kind of run all these kind of podcasts will be is kind of what's come across our eyes, come across the desk, what's kind of gotten the rise in our brains about something. And today I want to read you something here that I've got. This is from Carlene P on Twitter, at Carlene P. So thank you, Carlene, I love being the lightning rod for stuff that's screwing up and blowing up.
It's great
for
research.
Yeah, it's better than kitten pictures. But again, have a book with a kitten on the cover. So Carlene writes about, and I thought she was sharing with the story. This is actually her. This is her blog.
Is
happening.
Oh, is it her?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
cool.
So I give you a background on Carlene. She writes a blog about health and beauty products and stuff, and just different reviews of different things. And she put up a review. Actually, I think it was a different writer. Hang on a second. So she either received a reader review of a commission, or she commissioned an honest review of a hair tool. This hair tool is called,
a flat iron.
We were debating this before, chi or chai or something like that.
Like CHI. It's a hair, like a flat iron.
Yeah. And back in the 80s, it had a crimping attachment, and that's what they do with these things, right? So either way, it flattens the hair out, right? And
truly haired girls like me have them.
Right.
I have two.
Yeah, Rocket. I had long hair. Mine was straight and natural. I didn't need the chi. So hopefully chi will get mad at us here too. So what she pretty much goes through it. And by the way, go to her blog site. Her blog site. What am I? New blog site. Go to her site on the World Wide Web. you know, on the internet tubes. Holy monkey. Sorry. Go to beautyandfashiontech.com. This is where she kind of came across this. So she comes out and they review it. And her she either got a review or was shared with her, and she put it on the site of a very, very favorable review.
So she liked it.
Yeah, she didn't like it. She loved it.
Okay.
Like, she was really kind of, wasn't paid for, no affiliate thing, just said, you know what, I freaking love this. And that's, you know, one of the driving things about health and beauty blog sites or news sites or family sites is the passion behind the author.
Yeah.
Right? They love the product. You can sell it. And that can move product. Now, sometimes we leverage it the wrong way and we get affiliate deals with these things. We don't disclose it. That's, again, a whole other topic. But she really liked it. So all goes well, right?
There's yeah.
She didn't even have to send them the flat iron. Right, they
did, so it wasn't sponsored or anything?
Wasn't sponsored, wasn't requested, just simply, I love it, right? Okay. You know, the web is filled with billions of user reviews of, you know, Amazon have millions alone just on their site, but just filled everywhere with these type of things, right? There's nothing wrong, it's your opinion, and it's positive. So, apparently, I'm reading from the post, Chi apparently did not appreciate the positive attention since they recently sent me an impersonal form letter demanding I remove the review as trademark infringement.
Trademark infringement for saying that she liked their product.
And by the way, by the way, I'm not a lawyer, please consult yours, but this would not be trademark infringement, by the way. And she states that in her first point. It says it is not trademark infringement, explains why. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. Do you know why she can explain why it's not trademark infringement?
Why?
Because she's also a lawyer.
Of course she is.
She's also a lawyer who also runs this site. If you're going to mess with people, at least do some research.
I just can't believe a company that gets a good review would go after someone in a bad way.
But went to sue her. And of course, she lost her mind. And it's like you can see in front of you guys in the video, you can see like multiple pages. And this is just the post. This isn't the comments, by the way, which just this just went up. And there was already 60 comments when I read it when it first. And then, I shared it. Right, I went through and shared it, and they threatened to sue her for we don't get into like trademark laws and that, but it's just not for, and it's not. There's nothing wrong with it. You can give your opinion on something as long as it's not malice, it's not trying to state fact that isn't true.
And it wasn't sponsored. She wasn't under any agreement with the company to say that she. And plus, she said she liked it anyway.
Well, so I guess if they wanted to get press, they got it. So you know, and that's a whole debate there. So what happens? Of course, and it's a form letter. So I just checked Twitter before we came back on here to record this, and she tweeted to me and found out she got a call from Chachi. If they could change the name to Chachi, would that be trademark infringement? Asking them to change their name. I'm just going to call them Chachi from now on because I enjoy that word better. So it's a happy days thing. So Chachi, called
the
her,
iron company.
Phoned her. I guess I'm picturing them using a flat iron to phone, like up the side of their head. By the way, if you see the video of the girl who burns off her hair,
it's amazing. So good with the curling iron.
We will link that on the podcast.com to see her singe her hair off. It's amazing. So they phoned her and apparently profusely apologized. But here's what happened. You never want to hear the start of a sentence with a company. They outsourced to a third party.
Oh, is that how the suing
to go after trademark infringement.
So somebody's just running a search for the company name and didn't even read the review and just decided to sue people randomly who mentioned their iron?
I've been online for a long time. I'll be honest with you. I've been online for a very long time. I've been online since 94. I have seen things I'm not proud of.
No, we don't need to talk about what you've seen.
I've been
on
every website on the internet. I've been on every website. I've been to the end of the internet. And it said, you know, turn it off and go out and play. I've seen everything on the internet. I've been on for 20 years. And this is perhaps one of the dumbest strategies I've ever heard of it. Yeah. Chachi, you're listening to me, right? This is the sue me. Go ahead. This is the dumbest move I've probably at least the top three I have ever seen.
I wonder if other like stories will come out now since this story has gotten so much press.
But that's what's going to happen, right? People are going to see it and say, they emailed me too. Right, or somebody else is going to say it.
I can picture Reddit just like flooding the internet with pictures of their flat iron just to see how many people they can sue at once.
Two groups of people you never want to piss off.
Flat iron users.
And moms. And who are geeks and moms? Flat iron users. Right? That literally on the box is a geek mom. Literally, who flattens their hair? It gets frizzy. You're on the computer for a long time.
What are you saying? You're pointing at me.
Wow. I'm pointing in an accusatory way.
I didn't write the review.
Hang on a second. Allison Rocks at 69 wrote the review, so I'm wondering if that was you. I'm just kidding. So so this is the problem. Like, so let me add a third to that.
All right.
Geeks.
Moms.
Moms. Lawyers.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's her. right? Because in her, even her Twitter bio talks about she likes tech and everything else too. Like, you well, it's literally,
in the, it's in the address too, like, right? And it's the, like Palo Community Tech.
If you went to the top of Moron Mountain, Moron Mountain, the chief Sherpa moron,
it's a busy place,
would say,
Moron Mountain.
Listen very carefully. Go after the lawyer geek woman. She will be totally passive.
With the hot object in her hand.
With the hot straightening iron in her hand. She has a weapon. She has a weapon she's taken a photo of in her hand. You know where she could put that while it's hot? Like, there's plenty of places where she could put this iron. And this is what they... But it's I don't know what's worse. Is that they did this or that they outsourced it?
Well, yeah.
To, like, would you offshore this thing? Just find it and they just Google and it just form lettered
it. It seems like suing people is something you should do for yourself.
I want to, oh God.
It's only 8 minutes into the podcast.
I'm not going to make it through these things. I'm imagining the boardroom table. Okay. I'm imagining the meeting of Chachi Incorporated. Okay. Sitting around. I want to know where Skeeter put up his hand and brought up the issue that needed to be addressed with this answer. Like, what was it? Was it like, boss, we got a problem here. We're being mentioned too much. Or we got a problem, too many reviews. Like, I am honestly, Allison, I'm asking you in an honest way, what could have happened in any chain of events that would have said, we need to go third-party trademark lawsuit route.
Well, especially, I can't, I'm a mom who is a geek who uses a flat iron, and I've never heard of them before.
Owns a product company as well.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering about how much infringement they've had if I've never heard of them until this happened,
Allison,
too.
By the way, is the founder of Nummies Incorporated, maternity lingerie. And who has an experience of people reviewing products. So,
I would
right?
love like, if someone gave us a good review.
But here you go. But even if they gave you a bad review, right?
I
first off,
sue
it's not
them.
Trademark. No, it's not trademark first. But yeah. And we've heard it, and we've seen a lot of stories about Yelp and suing for bad reviews and competitors doing it. But I'm so desperately serious here of trying to figure out what the conversation was that says, we better go find a professional company. With professional being the loose term here.
Did a really bad job.
Like, were people... Like, maybe if the pictures of Chachi flat irons were being used... Here goes. I got it.
Okay, ready.
Chachi flat irons are being used on... Sold on eBay, but knockoffs of it. Like, Chi-Chi irons. And they were using the photos...
From the
Chachi was using, and you need to stop. Yes? Maybe?
I guess. That's closer.
Okay, but...
Yeah.
I'm really stretching, though, right? Yeah. I totally am stretching. Yeah. You wouldn't even send them a letter anyways. Why would you send a thief, a request to stop? Like, you know, you'd go to eBay, you tell them to stop. You go to Craigslist, tell them to remove it. You go, whatever it is. Yeah. You wouldn't do this. And I'm just, somebody's sitting around patting themselves on the back saying this was a good idea. We're glad. And then form letters. And then form letters just to say you can't.
With no research, because there's no way they read the review or they wouldn't have sent it.
I would say pick your battles, but I don't even think that helps here. I don't understand because it, you know, and that also, it leads us to other sides of the story too here. So or other situations. So again, you know, Carlene tweeted to me and she said they called her and profusely apologized. And of course they would, because as you say, you know, they're not sorry for what they did. They're sorry that it got attention.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. You know, they're not apologizing for being morons. They're apologizing that people notice they're morons. So, very fascinating to me that the whole, like, all the conferences I've spoke at, all the things I've read, I've always trying to, how do we leverage blogs?
Yeah.
How do
and
we
here
leverage?
You have somebody getting free talk. They didn't even have to sponsor. They didn't have to woo her or pay or anything, and they're suing her.
And you know what the number one result when you Google now, Chachi Flatirons, you know what's going to come up? This post.
And the unmarketing podcast.
Yeah, and the unpodcast.com will come up as well because we're totally going to link bait this thing, right? But it goes back to Motrin Moms.
Yeah.
It goes way back to Motrin Moms. Yeah. Like that was, we mentioned that in unmarketing, right? Where this is 4 years ago, five years ago.
And still when you
Motrin
search
Moms,
Motrin,
and you can go just Google Motrin Moms. We'll put a link to the story in the summary here. But, you know, they made a commercial pretty much kind of mocked. You know, moms and we're having babies in the side
in the carriers,
And what happens is just obviously they upset moms, and of course over the weekend they were in the office and they went nuts. So, like, I dare you, Google Motrin Moms right now. You'll still, the front page is all articles about how they screwed up.
Yeah,
like ta-da! You're a moron forever.
And they love it too. Probably they get in on Monday and they look at their numbers and they just went crazy.
Hey,
on
we
the
went
internet.
Viral on this. Like, we told, look, our demographic went viral, and you went, oh, son of a monkey, what happened?
Yeah, right? Well. and also because you know who buys the painkillers to come into the house most of the time is the moms, and now they're not going to be buying that. That's for sure.
Moms buy everything, so just watch yourself. But then here we go. It flips us to the other side of it, though. So we do, if they want to, if brands who are listening right now want to leverage things, or but what happens if it can go wrong? We all want user reviews. We all want community reviews. We all want that recommendation, right? That word of social mouth, right, to go around and around and around. So I had a company email me last week to ask for advice. I'm not going to name them, but because I actually like them. And okay. Beyond Podcast has no problem naming anybody or shaming anybody unless they want to be a sponsor. So if anybody wants to be a sponsor, please let us know, because we're always happy with brands. That's your one freebie, Coke. Whatever that you got to pay. So what happens here is, here's the I'm just going to name the industry. So it's, they sell razors and blades and stuff like that, but high-end stuff. It's not Bic. Bic is not, you know, sending a 12, you know, blades. It's real high-end stuff. So they had a customer apparently, you know, complain, and then they said, I ordered replacement blades, and these are, you sent me used blades.
Ew, gross.
Right, there's your reaction right there, which is why I wouldn't talk about it before. I want to see a reaction.
Yeah.
He's
not telling me what we're talking about.
Yeah.
He's surprising me.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I think, because I want your natural reaction as a consumer, as a human, right? Used blades.
That's gross.
Like, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's so many things involved with that.
Yeah, really, really gross.
So in theory, that's the worst thing you can say about a shaving company.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I can't think of anything worse than opening a package or getting something in the mail and they're being
used. An orphan baby's toe. Like, that's the only thing else you could put in the package, probably, that'd be worse than that. But other than that.
Yeah.
Or yeah, exactly. So
we don't need to go down the road of what could be worse.
No, but I think when you open that can, I got a little bit of worm out of there, right? So a worm. With a baby's toe in its mouth. That's
on orphan. The blade?
Yes. So what happened here was they see this, and he writes to me, and he says, here's the problem. That's not what we sent him. We actually don't have those parts anymore.
Okay.
They're discontinued and stuff. So the only thing he could have done was taken his old used ones.
And like wrapped it up to fake them?
And took a picture of it. Because he's
gross too.
He made a blog post.
So I don't know who he is. Post. I'm sorry if you're not gross.
So let's call him
Wayne.
Let's call him Wayne.
Okay.
Let's call the guy Wayne, who Wayne's losing his mind behind the glass now.
I can't see
our
him.
Wicked audio engineer back here, and a friend of the podcast is now losing his mind. But the other Wayne.
Okay. Took his nasty old he decided that he couldn't get what he wanted from the company.
No, he ordered them and got what he ordered.
Oh, okay.
So he ordered a replacement blades.
Yeah.
Got them.
Yeah.
Took his old blades, took a picture of them and posted on a blog saying, look what this nasty company sent me. I demand, you know, the world, right? I demand the king shaver, the Bic.
Want the company named after
everything.
Me.
I want you to come here and shave me.
For a commercial.
Right, everything. And so the guy wrote to me and said, what do we do? We actually have his invoice number, what he ordered, receipt. We have the obviously the blade. We literally cannot be
hard,
what we sent
because you don't want to play with crazy. Like, you don't want to, obviously, that person has an issue. But at the same time.
Well, and please, anybody who's listening, right, who's dealt with on a brand side of things like this, would you go to either theunpodcast.com and please comment on the page itself.
Yeah.
Tweet hashtag theunpodcast and let us know what you would do as well, because it's a tough spot, and I won't tell you what I told them yet. It's a real tough spot for a brand. Like, as an example, let's take one of your nursing bras.
Yeah.
If you sent it or somebody ordered it and they came and they literally tore it in half.
Yeah.
Or they I know it's obviously rude and gross, but maybe they poured some liquid in it so that it was, used.
In the past.
Would you handle a blog post? So it's to the public. So this is where their fear is. If it's just a guy running to you and he's nuts and he's just email, it's not a big deal. He posted it up on a blog and started sharing it. That's how they caught it, by the way. He said they use Hootsuite, right? You know, so they use Hootsuite to catch the brand mentions. They wouldn't have seen it without that. So this guy, so take your bras, okay, and somebody takes it, taints it, puts liquid on it, makes it dirty, makes your name look bad, and posts a blog. What do you do? Go.
Well, I think, first of all, you have to do something. I mean, I think that's the worst thing. In all the situations we see, I think you have to do something because, you know, you're listening for a reason, right? And that's the biggest value, I think, of social media is that you're able to listen. So you're able to hear what people are saying about your product. It's a tough call. I would do something. I mean, I think I would at least put a statement out or say something that, you know, apologizes, I guess, for the experience the person had. I don't know how challenging I would be with them, if only because obviously there's an issue of craziness, which I wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable with. I think you have to do what you feel comfortable with too, and because you're putting your company and your name onto something, and you have to decide if you want to be associated with Crazy Town.
So what would you do? Nummies, bras, is terrible. They sent me this used bra.
Yeah.
It's on my blog. I demand my money back. I demand more bras. How do you handle it?
I think I would write something. I think I'd probably write something on the blog, not directed at them. Just write something with the idea that if people had come to my site after reading about how horrible I was, and I would just say that, you know, that this is the way we deal with our products. We have really high standards. You could, you know, it's the reason to have good reviews on your site. So hopefully any person that came to my site from that information would then see, you know, the 8,000 other people who said that they liked them and didn't have that experience and see the stores and things like that. I personally would have trouble dealing with that kind of crazy because it would be kind of intimidating to me. I have had customers who I wouldn't talk to anymore because individual customers, not stores, individuals, customers who I wouldn't talk to. And they actually ended up reaching out to one of the bloggers that we work with, trying to get through. And it turned out that they were a creepy dude pretending to be a woman who just wanted to talk to me about bras.
Fancy Moses.
So it was pretty bad. And it started out like that. It started out with him sending me an email as a woman saying that he couldn't find a product. And I did my normal, like, I'm so sorry, I want to help you. I offered to pay for shipping and all this stuff. And, you know, he wanted help with sizing and he was creepy. And that's the world that we live in.
I'm not going to sleep very well tonight.
So I dealt with it up to the point where I wasn't comfortable anymore. So I think I would probably try and reach out to that person at least once and say, like, hey, I'm really sorry you had this experience. To be honest, I would probably send them if it wasn't expensive, we're not talking about a car or something, like a, you know, $20 for a product, send it to them. But if it continued after that, I would probably cut ties. I would be like, you know what, I've done what I think is right, and that would be the end for me.
You did identical to what I told them.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said. I said, well, you know, always, it's almost 99% of the time you've got to take the brand high road, right? And no matter what, it's on public. The guy wants something, and I told him. I said, and he said, well, they had a debate between the VP and the CEO what they should do. One CEO said, smack them, and the other one said, don't.
I wouldn't smack them.
So I told him, refund his money, send him a new set,
and
never deal with them again.
Yeah,
right. And then you've done what you can.
Yeah.
And there's professionals out there that will just try to hit up company. I remember seeing the movie Summer School. Remember from the 80s? You ever watch it? Was it Mark Hansen or Hansen, whatever his name is, right? Right? The cool summer movie. The kids all in summer school and he teaches them how to get free stuff. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they got a box of sunglasses. Yeah. It's his fault, I think, that everybody now goes after these
summer
things.
School.
Summer school. It's
people
summer school.
People blame the internet
fault,
and it's summer school's fault.
By the way, if a summer school studio wants to sponsor this, there's no problem. We can just edit that out. And we need to link a clip to that. And I think in the blog post entry for this one is for summer school.
Do you think it's like people, right? Like if someone comes at you with something like a comment or something negative, you have to you have to decide how far you're willing to go with dealing with a comment and then not go any further. So if someone says something off, in a way, you might say one thing back, you know, just because because you feel the need to speak and be part of that conversation. But if they keep at you, then it's over, right? Then it's unfollow or block or whatever you want to do.
Well, which brings us to the point that we're always dealing with, right? Is do you feed the trolls? And when do they become a troll versus a customer who has a complaint? And that's one of the tenets, the pillars of unmarketing and the unpodcast related to that is that, you know, you don't be the jackass whisperer. You're not the jackass whisperer, right? Don't feed the trolls.
Yeah. And the nice thing about a company is you can hide a little bit. So as a person, you're a person. At a company, you can, you know, have another person who works there who maybe isn't even a real person email that person and deal with them and that, right? Because there's always, you can hide behind the brand a little bit when dealing with difficult people sometimes.
And as another example, it just happened a few days ago. A lot of times when people are complaining to brands, and one of the reasons I love social media is it gives us a level playing field to voice our opinion. I love that. You know, what would we do 10 years ago? You had a problem with a brand. What would you do? Would you write them a sternly written letter or something? Yeah. You wouldn't. I like a public. I really love that. I just picture a bunch of us consumers on top of a mountain in Braveheart with receipts and a mouse and a smartphone screaming and running down the mountain with one brand person holding a brochure, right? Yeah. It's like I love that the customer can fight back. You know, one of the things we were debating with the podcast about is that, you know, the tagline's "a customer strikes back," you know, and that's where I do love that. I'm a huge consumer advocate, as we both are. And the problem is when we abuse it.
And, you know,
the public shaming of brands to get something. And I've heard people say it. I'm going to do this because they're going to give me this.
Yeah.
And as an example from a few days ago, somebody, again, like I said, they tag me in the tweet when they're complaining because they think they're giving it more muscle, or they want me to use it as an example.
Yeah.
Or a brand, which has happened, said, oh, crap, you put on marketing in the tweet. We need to take care of this. So, and I'm certainly glad to be leveraged to get stuff you deserve.
It works well for me when I need help. I'm not above asking you to do it. So
I've tried it myself, and it doesn't do anything. I think I get charged more when I go through the Tim Hortons drive-thru and ask for a coffee. And by the way, I'm on marketing. I get paid double.
Oh, they double it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mocked them in the first book, so maybe that's
I'm convinced that's the only reason people are nice to me. So
that's true.
Yeah,
that's
right. You're scary.
So with what this guy tweets a few days ago and says, whatever hotel brand it was, you know, this hotel screwed me. And they're not fixing it. And I'm like, and he tags me. I'm like, what do I do now? What do you want me to do here? I have no background. I have no context. And the hotel, like, sends a fairly cut and paste, but it's an apology. Like, sorry about that. We can help you. And he writes back and he's like, and I'm like, so what happened? You know, I can't say or help or assist unless you explain to me what happened.
Plus, he did invite you into the conversation,
into
so he kind of owes you an explanation.
I'm not jumping off the street here into a car that wasn't, you know, the door wasn't open. So
yeah.
I say, and he goes, they charged me for a room I never checked into. And I'm like, all right. And then you showed up and their dog mauled you? Or then you showed up and they gave you another room, but it was a closet with a guy who pretended to be a woman that wants bra samples? Like, what is the...
You're going to have to give me a little bit more here.
I want the hook.
Yeah.
Where is the... Since you said screwed, I want the outrage, right?
There are starving children all over the world.
And
let me hear more about the hotel you didn't check into.
Exactly. I'm looking for the all caps part here. Where do I need to get so... Where do I get unleashed?
Yeah.
When do you want me to jump in here? Let me see the outrage. And he's like, no, I just didn't check in and they charged me. I'm like, that... Yeah, that's pretty. I'm not for companies hiding behind policies and procedures and you know, in the fine print, but that's pretty well known in a hotel. You don't check in, they hold the room for you. And if you don't check in, you get charged because they can't give it to somebody else.
And they keep it late for you in case you're late or your travel's delayed. Yeah. They're not giving it to someone else.
And
they're going to take your money.
He was bitter because it was his sister had booked 20 rooms. And so he's like, well, we booked 20 rooms. Why wouldn't you waive it? So I wrote back to him and I said, and I believe this, I'm like, you know what? I'm not against them waiving it for you because of that quantity amount of rooms. Like that, you'll be, you know, 20 rooms. Don't worry about it. But outrage?
Yeah.
Screwed?
I think.
You screwed up, right?
Yeah. And then you didn't check into your room or cancel your room reservation.
And he did right after. He said, that was probably a poor choice of words, but maybe I should learn the policy better. I don't know if it was the first time I was staying at a hotel. Or,
yeah,
you know how
that's
that
what
works,
I was going to say. Like, they've never stayed
I've
at a hotel.
I've paid for many hotels I've never been to.
Yeah.
Like, literally because I hit the cutoff time.
Sometimes three.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Oops. Like, going to... you're welcome, New York City. You know, free hotels money. I like, paid you all for no room. But, you know when he'd be screwed or outraged? If he paid and guaranteed the right night and they gave away his room when he showed up. Like, maybe now. Here, seriously, just in the wedding hotel room allotment story base... There's 10,000 stories ahead of that. I have heard of the stories where people showed up for their weddings with 10 or 20 rooms and they have canceled all of them because a conference came and wanted all 100.
And they didn't tell them. They
or they told
up.
Them 3 days before.
Oh, God.
Like, so in the hierarchy of crappiness when it comes to hotels, you don't
even
hit the scale.
It's not too bad.
No,
really.
But this is where we get to the problem. And the problem here, and here's the brand problem. Can you just not say anything? Because you know full well. Half the times brands, or most of the time, brands just want to go, just shut up. Are you serious? Like, is this really what you're going to do? But they have to take the high road. I don't. Right?
No.
But brands have to take the high road, right? So where do you... And they did the great thing. They're like, here, I'm sorry. It was part of our policy. I'm sorry. It was way. And again, they could give them the money back. But the problem is, and here's the question for the brand and for you, do you refund his money?
Well, I got to a hotel... in Kalamazoo on the way to Milwaukee. And I got to the hotel and I with the kids and I stood at the desk where I've done many times and to check in, and they said that I'd already checked out. And I kind of looked at her. I'm like, I didn't. I just got here. I got a suitcase, kids. You saw us walk in. And I guess I had booked the hotel for the wrong night because that's me. And so when I booked it online, I did the wrong night. And I didn't show up the night before, but I didn't cancel. So they charged me for the night.
Right.
And then they automatically checked me out. They never saw me. But anyway.
And so you had three drinks from the minibar.
And so they just switched it. It was really nice. I appreciated it. And they didn't have to switch it, I guess, but I was standing there and I needed a place to stay. And they didn't make me pay for the second night. Mm. And I thought that was really nice and understanding because I had booked it for the wrong night. And they switched it. Mm. And I think sometimes those kinds of things are, you know, the way to get your brand kind of just to do the right thing, be a nice person, do the right thing. Yeah. And so part of me is kind of like, you know, they did get the 20 rooms. Maybe they should do something. But the way he went about going after them on Twitter then sets up a precedent for the way you're going to be treated. If they had called, if he had called the hotel, if he'd gone in, if he'd really apologized to them and said, you know, this happened, or did he have a reason for not showing up at the hotel? Is there something human behind it? Or did he just be like, didn't show up?
He asked for them to waive it. But again, there's other ways you
but
can
there's
go.
Always there's always a reason, right? There's always gray area there. So I mean, I think a lot of it would depend on why he missed it. I don't think they have to refund the money. They didn't get the room to somebody else. It was his job to be there. They sell rooms. That's what they do, you know.
And what's it worth, right? Somebody's complaining about one of your products, and like, and what's it worth to shut them up? But the problem is, then we breed that type of thing, and then we create an expectation.
Yeah.
So if a brand gives something back, the minute you pipe up about something and a brand just says, sorry, here you go, you're back, you set up a condition.
Yeah.
Right? You set a condition and where, you know, if I have a problem with my iPhone, Apple's not even on Twitter. Right? You know, and they're not going to give it back. But I know if I say to whatever this brand is, I say it, they're going to send me something free. They're going to do something for it because we've kind of set up that condition. Yeah. And
That's why I don't like the way he went up.
Yeah.
He went about it. Yeah, right. My feeling is, and tag you in there was just kind of be like, like bringing a bigger kid to the fight at lunch or something.
It's,
you know,
like by the way, here's my big brother. Yeah. And here's on marketing, and he's going to get angry too.
And I'm also kind of like one to think that if someone's going to do that, they should ask you first. I don't know if that's cool the way he went about it.
Exactly. But. How much time we got, guys? How much time we got? How long have we gone? 33 minutes so far. Good. We have a little more time to do some stuff. We never want to talk more than what we got in our brains. We don't want to talk too little because we know you want some of the goods we got. And I really want to take this into the, you know, that part of the segue where if you do, especially in social, we've trained brands real well.
Yeah.
Like sit, stay, you know, beg. Like we really literally trained brands pretty good. It's like compared to a few years ago, we've really scared the crap out of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and we certainly played a part of that, you know, and I'm proud of that. We really scared the brands and I enjoy that. But what we've done, the problem is sometimes we've created the social response to be better than the company itself. So,
definitely.
You know, example, and you just did your blink. You guys saw on camera. If you guys, when we're doing the video, if you can see the blink that she does right there, you know it means Allison has got some anger going for something. So, but, and you know where I'm going with it though, too, right? And what I mean by this is that the brand is real responsive in social, real responsive on Twitter or Facebook or anything, but they're still terrible when you phone them or terrible at the store level. So when a place says, you know, you tweet something like you're angry, I did that with Bell, you know, with a phone or something, and they're like, oh, so sorry. And then it's call our number and we'll help you out, which is hilarious, by the way, if your phone doesn't work and they ask you to call them. And they're like, we're so sorry, you're so sorry. And then real quick response. And you phone them, they're like, we don't care.
I don't think companies like see it. I think companies still see social as like something separate. I don't think they see it as another, as like you calling them.
Right.
And so they give to people who are really good at social and they get the job and they run the accounts and they're great. They talk to people and they search, but then there's no ability for them to follow through. And I'm sure it's frustrating too for the social people because I think they want to be able to follow through. Probably most of the time I'd like to think they do. But then there's no ability to do anything.
And I think then you're just a mouthpiece. And I think I truly, and we've been saying this for a long time, that social is not a sales and marketing silo.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be in that. I think social should be under customer service.
Yeah.
I think that it's a poor sales and marketing tool. It's a poor announcement tool type of thing. I think it's wonderful, but it's customer service. And if you're going to do social as a brand, regardless of how big, whoever does the social has to have that, the autonomy, the ability to do something about it.
And it can't be information I could have found on the website. Like if I'm reaching out to you on Twitter,
or just lead me to the website, go check it here, right? It's terrible. You know, thanks for writing. And by the way, here's the link to do something, or email us
the 1-800 number that we give to everybody anyway.
Yeah.
It's actually in our bio.
It's in the bio.
You didn't really need to.
We've done nothing.
Yeah.
Or you know, or it's. And this is the problem. I've seen it done. You can catch a problem. You can end a problem in public, by the way. Like social is publicized customer service.
Yeah.
You know, the ability to get it out there like that. And to me, it's ridiculous that we're not giving any kind of strength to these people. And I can understand the frustration of people who run these accounts who have no ability. Like,
no,
the example
I do.
With Chris with Kite String Studios. So it's our design team from Kite String Studios in Hamilton. We adore them to pieces. And Chris, one of the partners there, wrote something. We put this in on marketing. He wrote something about Flip Video, now the defunct camera company, which was amazing, but
yeah,
it didn't work out. And he tweeted something about the camera. Actually, a common issue with the camera. We went wrong. And he tweeted the Flip Canada Twitter account and wrote back. And they said, this is a PR account, not customer service or not a warranty thing
they
or something.
They called him to it. And they were angry.
Well, here's what happened. I saw it.
Yeah.
And so you know, Big Brother jumps in. And I'm like, oh, hell no. And Chris is like, yeah, see, no, you don't do that. And then they tracked him down and phoned him, and yeah, he saw the number, and he's like, oh, okay, it's going to be Flip. It's going to be nice to me, happy to me. He picks it up, and the guy rags him out.
Yeah, he was angry at him.
He's angry at him, saying, I don't know, why are you doing this, man? I'm a PR company in Toronto, like an individual guy. Like, they outsource it to him. He's like, yeah, I don't do customer service. And here's the key thing, right? Customers don't see silos.
Yeah.
Customers don't see PR versus customer service versus marketing.
And it just doesn't matter what you think you are. If your customer's asking you a question, then you need to be able to answer them or at least point them to the right person.
The worst thing you can do to a customer, especially one who's upset, is tell them they're standing in the wrong line.
Yeah, sorry.
Right? But that's the thing, right? You've lined up for 20 minutes at a place. You get to the front of the line, like, it's actually the returns line over there. Right now, great. Now I'm angrier.
Yeah.
And this is the problem where a little thing can go exponentially bigger if the more you mess. You know, here's the top three worst things you can do on a social response as a brand, right? Nothing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, having an account but not listening, terrible. Automate it.
Yeah.
Right? Or just tell them they're in the wrong line.
Yeah.
Call this number, email this thing. I did that with, like, with King Baby Studio.
Yeah.
With King Baby, where I love their products. You know, I certainly a great kind of a boutique studio of badass stuff. There's actually my belt. Hang on a second.
If you're listening to this on audio, Scott is taking
his
pants off.
You can't see my belt, but I'm not going to take my pants off. But it's can you see that in the video? It's okay. It's a badass. Yeah. It's a badass belt. I just did the first unpodcast crotch shot. It's a badass belt. Love it. I like really, really nice. Handmade, like stainless, beautiful steel things. And the belt, part of the belt broke. And I'm like, you know, it happens. It's not like, you know, at least the hounds, you know, although I sound like a prick when everything we were doing and getting angry at, I still give brands a chance. I run a business. I know what it's like to have things not go well or go well. And I want people to know every business wants the opportunity to make it right.
Yeah.
At least I think that's competent businesses. People want a chance. The worst thing you can have happen to me as a business owner, talking from a business owner side of the table, is that somebody complains, like the hotel one, somebody complains publicly before they even bring it to you.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. It's the person sitting at your restaurant and you walk up as a server and say, how is everything? And they say fine while they're tweeting about how terrible it is.
And taking pictures.
Right? We are passive in person and aggressive online.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we do. So King Baby, I had this broken, just a little nib. Is that an official word? Can I say nib?
Let me
clear
check
the sensors?
Rules.
Can we do nib? Nib works okay. Wayne's okay with it. All right, good. So it breaks off.
Yeah, so it won't do up anymore.
Yeah, so it's not, it's part of the belt you break, it's gone useless. Like, I'll stab myself now if I try
it's
to.
It's no longer a belt.
It's no longer a belt. It is just an awkward thing. So what I do, I'm like, damn it. But I go, and brands got to understand this, I go the route I want to go as a consumer, what's comfortable for me.
Yeah, of course.
Right? You know, this is, you know, whether it's phone, text, email, Facebook, Twitter, mailed letter, or I show up, whatever that is, it should be within my customer comfort zone. I like that term. Can we copy? Can we trademark that along with the chi hair thing? The customer comfort zone. I really like that one.
Chachi.
So thank Chachi, and that's a band. Chachi and the customer comfort zone coming to Rama next weekend.
Rama.
So those don't know it's there. One of our casinos up here. So, by the way, the Vegas 30 podcast is also a good sister podcast for this one. So I go my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Right, and I go through it, and I opt for the Facebook page.
Okay.
Okay, because I was actually on Facebook when the thing broke.
Well, there
and
you
I'm
go.
Like,
so you're already
I'm right there. They're on Facebook.
Yeah.
There's people posting, got a lot of likes, a lot of fans, whatever we're calling them today. And so I post my own post on their wall.
Yeah.
No, not even that. I don't even go public route. I send them a message, a private message to their Facebook page.
Okay.
Because I'm just giving them a chance. I don't even air this, my dirty belt publicly, right?
Although you did just show it on video.
I did just show it to the millions of the a nation. So I go there and I write them a note saying, hey, this broke off. You know, what do I do? You know, it's $180 belt.
Yeah.
And I know, which is a stupid amount to spend on a belt, but it's amazing. So I did. And so I'm like, and if it was $7, which all my other belts cost, I would have been no problem with it. Right.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, how much I put into it, invest, and I love it. I love the belt.
Yeah.
And I wrote to them, and they wrote me back in about a day or so. And I'm not much. I'm not. I don't expect, like some other people, I don't expect instantaneous response.
I do.
Right. Exactly. Well, yes. I meant you when I said other people.
I do.
But I didn't want to say it.
So, instantaneous.
So I put it out there, and they wrote me back in a day or two. And they wrote back and said, hey there, our place in Kentucky takes care of it. Phone them. Here's their number.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're adding another step. Phone. I hate the phone.
Because they should have been able to get in touch with them.
100%. And I cannot stand the phone. And if you're listening right now and hashtag unpodcast, go to the unpodcast.com and add us some comments as well with, do you hate the phone? Because I can't stand phoning people. I cannot do it. I will just my last option and everything. So I'm like, I'm not phoning them. Obviously not. But they could have dropped them a line. Here's the instructions. Here where you mail it. Go.
Yeah.
Okay. But also understanding that they wanted to really see what was wrong. So because they could potentially fix it, or do they need to replace it? So I then go to the website and then I email. So now I'm extra steps here, right?
Yeah.
I'm really gone more the extra mile than I usually go. And I write them from the website and said,
it's
hey,
a really belts. Good belt.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, it's got to be a good belt when you're going this far.
Yeah.
And I email them and they write back. And now they write back, hey, can you send us a photo so
okay.
we can see what's wrong to tell you if we have to replace it or fix it?
Okay, which is reasonable.
And I hear that. So I'm thinking if it has to be replaced, they're just going to ship me a new one.
Yeah.
And if it's fixable, I send it back and they'll send it back for me. Either way, I'm fine with it. I'm getting taken care of. But each email takes 2-3 days to get back to me. I'm picturing the guy.
Your pants are falling
I'm picturing
down.
The guy, you know, hammering the blacksmith hammering, and then going over to his computer and like damn belt, and then you know going back and hammering some more skull. And since it's badass, you know, wear that we've got, I can just picture the guy who's doing it because he's obviously 7'9" with tats and like a bald head and a muscle shirt, and he's just pounding through the forge of something. So he writes,
and "You're walking around with your pants and around your ankles.
I'm walking around pantless, right?" And so,
which is a problem,
which is an issue, I think, especially since the I walk in public.
Yeah.
So I write them back, and she says, "Well, okay, it's at a stress point that we can't. It's not fixable.
Okay,
we will replace it." So I'm like,
"Awesome,
yeah,
yeah."
First, send it back.
Yeah.
And then we will send you a new one.
And they've already seen pictures.
I not only did I take pictures, I took pictures with my Canon SLR.
Oh, you took real pictures.
HD 1080 mother flippin' P pictures. Like, they could use these for promo.
Yeah.
If they wanted. And nice angles, too. Like lighting, I use that f1 weird camera term lens that's like blur the background and stuff. Like, this is catalog level stuff.
Yeah,
I
can tell.
Yeah, and I sent it, and they're like, okay, and then they're like, well, you got to send it back first. I'm like, well, this is just weird. Like, I'm just feeling awkward now. It's just like, it's a trust thing.
But
right?
I think that's the problem.
Like, you hand your, and at the same time, we'll hand each other and we'll let it go. And then we both got, you know, something else. We're dropping knives in a duel or something. We got to do at the same time. So I sent it back, and then I did. I got the belt back. And but, you know, this whole process, though, at the end of the day, almost took a month.
Yeah.
And the reason why I couldn't, there's no store I could take it to because, you know, there's only a couple boutiques there is, and I wasn't coming back there. I probably could have replaced it in the store. I never tried. But the thing is, there were so many steps.
Yeah.
We could have removed about three of them.
But don't you think that's part of the problem with, if, as a business, take the first story where the person, the razor story, mm-hmm. where the person's obviously scamming, mm-hmm. that if you become so desensitized that you think your first instinct is that somebody's scamming you, then you end up with customer service like that from a loyal customer who travels to the boutique specially to buy stuff, who's got a $200 belt on, who probably would buy more $200 belts.
But not a $400 bracelet.
But not a $400 bracelet.
Which they also sell.
But that's the problem. And that's why I don't like the first instinct to the razor story to be like, well, just...
Well, and this is where we get to the point. Do we really want to get to the point where we the assumption is guilty until proven innocent?
Yeah, because it's a culture, right? If you have a lot of people who work for you, then you put guidelines out and policy out. And if your first policy is we got to keep these customers from screwing us over, then when an honest... And I really think most of the time... It's a real problem. Yeah. Things break, and we want to be able to go to companies and get our money back or get it exchanged or all these kinds of things. And I think most of the time, it's just, it's real.
Have you ever had to replace a bra when somebody ordered it?
Oh, yeah. And I always do. And I can't sell them. well, first of all, I can't sell them again anyway. Yeah. And I don't usually get them back even from stores. Yeah. On the rare, it doesn't happen that often, but a store will send a message that like something showed up at the store, you know, with a clip missing or something broken. And I just send another one. I don't even usually ask for pictures. Like my feeling is that, you know, there's a...
Unless you want to know what's wrong. Like you seriously want to see the problem.
Sometimes if it's the first time something's happened or it's a rare thing that's never happened before, then yeah, I'd want to see it. But I would pay for it, first of all. Mm-hmm. I would usually pay the shipping for them to send it back. And I certainly wouldn't...
There's my next point.
I certainly wouldn't wait for it to get back before sending them another one, especially in my case, because I'm selling to stores who are selling to people. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hinder their business while they're waiting to send the stuff back. Everyone's busy and they sell other products than bras.
I do understand having checks and balances. I understand having places in place that you don't just somebody just says, I just bought 73 of your things.
But that's what leads to like big companies having broad policies that make us crazy, because it started out with one person scamming them and then putting it in place.
I remember going to Zellers. The now gone brand here in Canada. I'm not sure if Zellers in the States at all.
I don't think so, no.
So Zellers, you know, it's like a Woolworth, the old school Walmart is not as big and dirtier. And I went there and to return a water jug.
One
of those giant jugs that you put in a dispenser. Yeah. You know, that keeps it cold and spring water type of thing. And I brought it back because there was a $10 deposit on it. I can't be bothered to return a beer can or beer bottle. We'll just recycle them, but you know, for 5 cents. But $10, I'm like, you know, hot diggity.
Yeah, and they use it again.
So I walked back and I drove back and I showed up with the bottle.
Just picturing you walking down the street with a big water bottle.
With a big empty water jug. There he is again, water jug man, walking up and down the street with his empty jug. You know, it's like I'm about to start some kind of band with his jug. I don't know why it's be a band, but so I walk in the Zellers with empty jug in hand, and I walk up to the first the cash register, and they're like, "You gotta go to customer service." I'm like, "Oh, okay, well it's a level up, it's a jug, so I can't do it here." So I go to returns, whatever. So I walk up there in line, I wait for four people, of course, and then I get up there, and I bring the jug. I'm like, "Hey, I just want my deposit back," and she's like, "Hey, do you have a receipt?"
Oh gosh,
I'm like, I don't keep my Zellers receipts usually. And I didn't, and here's one of the things, it wasn't my weekly Zellers trip.
Yeah.
I would go there once every 6 months, and I just so happened I was there because of where I was visiting at the end of the town there, and I went, so the only reason I went back was to get the $10 and just get the $10. It was just like, that was it. And, which is sad. And, and I went, she's like, "Do you have the receipt?" I'm like, no, I don't. And all I'm thinking right now is there a black market for this? Is there a black market for...
It's like the water jug bands, and they fill them up with water, and then they blow over the top. I don't have anything that's a bottle. I want to make the noise.
Yeah. Like, you know, Jim Bob and his jug band is ripping Zellers off. Like, is there a big underground thing for this where they return stolen water?
We need to interview somebody on the show.
I think we need to, if we can work on that, some kind of...
Water jug band.
A sort of person to work for us. Whoever's doing that, can you do that? So what happens is, I look at this, I'm like, who... Because if you, like for here, at least up in Canada, you know, with a beer store and the liquor store, if we have, you know, a can or a bottle, you can fish it out of the garbage and return it. As long as the whole point of deposits is so you don't waste material.
Yeah.
Like you give it back. That's the whole point. In this giant plastic jug, you return it. And I'm like, what? I looked at her like, I don't know how many contortions my face did at the time, but I did not imagine. I'm like,
18.
I didn't even have a Twitter following at the time, but I know I didn't even have a place to vent it. And I'm just like, oh, no, I don't. Where do we go now? It's like a showdown. Water jug boy.
One way or another, this water jug is going to be left here on your desk.
One way or another, I'm getting $10.
You decide if we're on the news tomorrow.
Yeah, you decide if we make the morning paper, right? Right? You know, kudos to Louis C.K. For that one. So and I look at her, I'm like, no. And I'm just like, where the heck was it going to go? And she's like, we're going to have to give you a gift card.
Oh, gosh. Zellers.
That's all we can do.
A gift card.
I'm not done. Okay. Gift card. We're going to give you a gift card. And I'm like, I'm half furious, but remembering starving children around the world that I'm still getting $10. Is there anything in Zellers that has grocery and everything else?
All the horror stories about jugs that day. You were not on that worst list.
The hierarchy of jug huge problem stories.
You're still
in the
doing
world.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm, there was clean water in that jug once.
I haven't made the rank yet. Okay. Right? I'm pretty much still off that scale. So my outrage is tempered.
Okay.
And then she says, I'm going to need your ID.
For a $10 gift card?
Because to give it to you, we need your ID.
Oh my.
I'm like, I am beyond question now. I am beyond.
You're looking for the hidden cameras.
I'm just like, who's messing with me here? Who's no money without receipt? It's not like a return, like a faulty thing. It's a deposit, meaning I've given you money temporarily to say I'm bringing this back.
Plus, people must do it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no one's ever brought a jug in before? Like, you didn't walk in with, a rare, you know.
I was a criminal. I was the Oakville, Ontario jug thief. And although she had to give it back to me, she needed a hard record of it, right?
Wow, did they fingerprint you too?
And what I don't know what putting my info down was. Do I then get identified as a serial jug returner that needs to be flagged? Like, will you now not take, you only give me $5 for the next jug? Like, help, I don't, is there some jug wonderland where people take advantage of these things and return them to make a profit?
Jug wonderland.
I think in Zellers as a whole, their return jugs versus jugs with deposit, they're still making some cash here. Okay, they're not donating it back to charity at the end of the year, right? So they can have some leeway. And I walked out of there saying, it's just another reason why I don't like shopping here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not, will I stop shopping there because of the jug issue? Of course not.
But they should want people to bring it back in, because then you went back in the store. Like, you might have bought stuff.
And you know what? I might have probably spent that $10 cash anyways at Zellers.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have left the store.
Now, on principle, of course, the joke's on me. I take the principle, I throw out the gift card. They get the money back. They've kept the money.
I love that you waited in line and did the whole thing and then threw out the gift card.
I screwed nobody over but me. But it felt really good for like 4 minutes to 7 minutes, maybe. That I felt like I stood up against the man, and they now have my $10 and I can never have it back. Like, that's pretty much where I went with that. But this is the thing, and this is where, you know, kind of we're going with the next book. It was that whole pulse thing of where it might not be one thing that gets you to leave, but it's a combination of a lot of things.
Yeah.
And if I'm an ecstatic customer, that might not get me to go away, but I was at the bottom of the customer barrel already.
Yeah.
It was out of my way. It was not clean very often, not a great selection. And I'm like, you know what? No. You know, I'd only go there just to get a different picture from the usual stores I go to anyways. Maybe a couple different items. And that did it. That did it. You know, that was a 10. Maybe it's worth it to stop the jug cartel.
And I do think that's kind of part of the hotel story, too. Like, if his sister, like you said, had just spent all this money, I think the hotel needs to take those kinds of things into consideration. Right. You know, like, is this a person who would come here again? What kind of relationship do you want to form with them?
Back to the hotel. Exactly. Yeah, where you say, how much is it worth to us to have a customer go angry? Who also just booked 20 rooms.
But also, what is it worth to us to do a little something from a customer? And the way that the customer approached them. If the customer goes at them guns blazing like that, now chances are they're going to be really hard to please, and it might not work out that way. And maybe that's like just,
you got to be careful about precedent, though, too, right? Then if I see that publicly, then if I don't stay there and I don't cancel it, well, you did it for him.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Where it's like me on Twitter. If I reply to one person, it's fine. But if somebody else tweets and I don't reply, they get mad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I had a woman come up to me at an event 6 months ago. She walked up to me at an event. I finished talking and she walks up to me, beeline from the crowd, right up to me. It's about 400 people at this event. She walks up to me and goes, "Hey, Scott." I'm like, "Hi." I don't recognize her. I just didn't know who she was. She's like, "Hey, I gave you a ride after one of the book tour stops. It was really snowing, really blizzard and stuff." I'm like, "Okay." She's like, I did my first book tours, 30 cities in 10 weeks and stuff. It's all a blur. And no, everybody's wonderful and valuable. And I don't want to discount a person. I just didn't remember her.
Yeah.
And she says, "I sent you a tweet a couple days after and you never replied."
It was like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah. 4 years ago. And you never replied and then just looked at me.
Wow.
And I'm like, where do I go right now? And there's another person standing, by the way, the client.
Yeah.
Who was standing there like, "Well, this is awkward. What are you going to do about this now, Scott?" And I turn and I'm like, and then I just look at her. I'm like, "I'm sorry." Meaning, I'm sorry. I don't know if it was for, "I'm sorry for doing it. I'm sorry for standing here right now."
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. And she looks at me and goes, "Oh, it's no problem.
I've just remembered it for 4 years.
No, I'm not mad or anything.
I just brought it up 4 years
later. I just sat at home with a voodoo doll of you. For 4 years, wondering when you're going to reply.
Maybe if I stab it in the arm."
Oh, take that. That's why my shoulder stinks, right? It's just because of that. But that's it. It was like, I'm like, that's a good place to wrap it up, isn't it? It's hard to say, you know what? This is, sometimes social is too social and go too far. Thank you for listening to Podcast Episode 1. Thanks to my man Adam from AtalkSpark for filming. Wayne, my man behind the scenes, for doing the producing. My co-host, as always, Allison Kramer. Remember, be good to everybody. Don't be good to jackasses.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.